Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, October 6, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How you doing?
Oh, fantastic, I say.
Well, I'm glad it's Friday, and weather's cooling off some here in the hills finally. And it's, I kind of enjoy the cool weather. I don't like the cold weather, but I like cool weather.
Agreed. Agreed. So I'm looking forward to, we were in the 80s, 81. Can't believe
that's
it.
That's where we were yesterday. It's heading up your way. It's coming from,
okay.
Coming from the south,
right.
Kind of southeast
just,
up. So
hang just hold
there,
the
southwest.
Rain. I don't want any rain.
I can't promise you that, but anyway.
Anyway. Let's go ahead and see what gold and silver has done today. Gold today was up $9 at $1,830. We did have a high of $1,835, so it did pull back $5. Silver is up 57 cents at $21.62. Platinum was up 16 at $886, and palladium was up 9 at $1,194. Little pressure on the dollar. Down 0.33. Now we're at 106.02. So it's basically dropped a full point there because we were over 107 at the beginning of the week. Crude oil was down up 51 cents at 82.82. Paper markets did an unusual day today, up nearly 300 points on the Dow, 288. The S&P was up 50. A little over 1%, about a little over 1%. And the NASDAQ was up 211 points. And, after the jobs report, you would have thought things would be a little more to the negative. But just goes to show you that nobody knows what they're doing and nothing is reacting to the way that it should react to. European markets were all positive. Asian markets, the Nikkei was down. All others were to the upside. 10-year yield, that rose 4.79. Right now we're at 4.795%, basically. And the natural gas was up another 5%. Now this is over 3.32. It's been a long time since it's been up over 3. So that's kind of interesting. So there we have it in the precious metals, and of course, all eyes today was on the job report. Payrolls Payrolls increased by 336,000 in September, defying expectations for a hiring slowdown. The estimate was 170,000. ADP report came in, which they're never the same as the government numbers. They were actually at 89,000, so they were even much lower. The average hourly earnings rose 0.2% for the month and 4.2% from a year ago. The unemployment rate was 3.8 compared to the forecast for 3.7. And it looks like leisure and hospitality led job growth, followed by government and health care. Isn't that just great to see those two things are the ones really leading the job
manufacturing creations. Not even heard of.
No, and yet all we've heard, I don't see, let me see if I can look here where the manufacturing was. Motion pictures fell, hospitality and leisure led by 96,000, government 73, healthcare 41. Service-related industries contributed 234,000. I don't see a breakdown on those. I'd like to know what those service-related industries are. But they don't even have manufacturing.
You know, I mean, without that, these other things disappear eventually. You got to have something producing to keep those other jobs going.
Well, you know, all we hear about is the big return to manufacturing, but all the manufacturing, all the new places, all they're doing is EV batteries.
That's
because
very
they're pushing because they're pushing the EV vehicle. They're pushing the EVs on the American people.
And
so
the,
why
and
wouldn't
the prices,
you?
Yeah. The prices are dropping on them too now, so people are trying to get people to buy them. That's one of the dumbest things you can do. I just there's another talk show I listen to once in a while. You probably heard of Ted and Austin Brewer. Well, Austin bought a EV. He said he paid over $100,000 for it. And he said within a few months, a year, it was just shot. Not, you know, just falling apart. It's the dumbest thing ever done. You know, and yeah, I agree. And the batteries. I mean, once the battery's done, that's the whole car. When it's done, the car's done. So what do you do with the battery? Do you eat them? I mean, what do you do? Who wants them? No, who's going to take them? Folks,
well,
you got to think these things through.
I did see an interview with one of the manufacturing plants that was created, I think, in Georgia somewhere. And what they actually did is they will pull the metals out of the old batteries. That's what they did. So they extract, you know, all the, I don't know,
all the
whatever,
lithium and all that,
lithiums and all that kind of stuff. So is that an answer to your question? Not really.
It's not really.
But
partial.
It's part, but it's partial. And you're welcome. just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. But what's interesting, so yeah, how it, you know, maybe, I think maybe the ADP report on Wednesday, maybe that's a leading indicator. Maybe next month we're going to see a difference in these employment numbers. You know, so, and basically what it's saying is, you know, I saw another article today where corporate America is ignoring Jay Powell and they're binging on debt. They're continuing to borrow. So, and part of it is so they can buy back their shares, buy back their stocks. What's that do? It keeps their stocks higher. It's a false reality. One of these days, these corporations aren't going to be able to borrow anymore, and they're not going to be able to buy back their debt, their stocks anymore. So again, it's a false reality of these stock market prices. And there was something else I wanted to share, if I can find it here. We talked yesterday about only stock crash can repair what's happening to the bond market. And still, you see little comments about the bond market and what's happening and so forth. But it's still I think it's It should be on everyone's topic of conversation. And you can barely find any information on what is happening to these treasuries. And I don't know. It's just, it's shocking. It's just shocking.
With the economy still heating up like it is, and they are talking about another interest rate hike, I really thought the markets would react a little more negatively to that because, I mean, that's interest rate hikes is, I don't know much more that we can stand. But when will be the next meeting to have them to do that?
Well, I think we're going to see, I don't know what they're going to try to do everything possible probably to hold it, I would say, through Christmas, depending, because they need to have a good showing for Christmas. So I don't know, but you're right. With the jobs report today, market should have dropped, but it can drop on Monday. It doesn't mean that there's knee-jerk reactions anymore. So I think you're going to see more of a negative market next week because things happen on Friday. I don't even think people work anymore on Fridays. So it is a yeah, so it's all interesting. But, you know, I read reports today about, you know, some people are blaming China that they're dumping their treasuries. And that's why we're having the big rout. And, you know, then they're just replacing it. And they're going from one set of U.S. debt to a different type of a debt. And it's agency debt that they're transferring their funds to. And you know what? It doesn't even matter. I don't care where they put it. I don't care how much debt they buy. We wouldn't be having the higher rates, and we wouldn't be having this issue if there isn't something more structural that is happening, period. There is something across. There's something that is happening, and no one is paying any attention to it. It's just like in 2019 when we were telling folks that the overnight borrowing, it went from $1 billion for a couple days to, well, in a couple months, and then it's forever, and then it's up to the trillions, and that's a big deal. It was a big deal.
Yes, it is. Yes.
The derivative markets, it's a big deal. With these interest rates rising, what do you think is having, what impacts they're having on these derivatives? When people have to start rolling over their debts at higher pricing. You have businesses where 1 month, if they have an adjustable rate on their business loans or what, even their home equity loans is usually some sort of an adjustable rate. So in 1 minute, you're paying, you know, something that's really affordable to the next minute where, wow, can't afford this anymore. Can't make my payments. So yeah, there's a lot of things that are happening, and you're right, Butch. It's not showing what is happening behind the scenes, and so people will wake up. As I've always said, people will wake up one day to a whole different world. There's an article by Bank of America. Bonds in greatest bear market of all time. This is Bank of America. It's their global research. The rout in the fixed income market is. And who gets most affected by fixed income?
Yeah. Me.
So, yeah. The rout in the fixed income market is causing the greatest bond bear market of all time. As the peak to trough loss in the U.S. 30-year yield hit 50%. This is a loss in the 30-year yield, 50%. It is weekly flow show, reports B of A, said bond funds saw $2.5 billion in outflows in the week to Wednesday. Yields on 30-year treasuries rose above 5% for the first time since 2007 on Wednesday, pushing the yield up 15 basis points. On the previous week, the Bank of America Global Research. The report shows that the current loss in 30-year bonds from the peak in the market of July 2020 to now far outpaces that of any previous bear market, making this one what it calls the greatest of all time and the humiliation trade right now is buying bonds. However, the entire bond market has not come under the same fire as the 30-year debt. And it goes on. So it's amazing. And very few are talking about it. Well, there's certainly no fear about it. So I guess they think that the Fed will come to the rescue. And so there you have it. That's what's going on. And, you know, again, as I said, they're blaming China, manipulating the markets. Well, you know, who doesn't manipulate the markets? You know, they just happen to be the latest boogeyman. And I'm not sticking up for China. I think there are, that is what's going to, you know, they control a lot of the U.S.
Well, they're not doing anything that we haven't done or still trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when you have nations around on fiat currency, they're not above backstabbing other nations. They're just trying to exist.
Absolutely. Exactly.
You know, so we can't point fingers at the boogeyman because we the boogeyman's ourselves.
Yep. Absolutely.
An article here that I'll share in a minute, you know, the dollar doomsday, global shift away from euros and dollars is accelerating. I don't know when we're going to start seeing more of an effect from this, Melody, but it's coming. And, there's so much happening on the dollar market as far as who doesn't want it now. Eventually, it's going to come home to roost here. You know that.
Yes, but absolutely.
The economic situation in both the United States and European unions has degraded so much in recent weeks that even the powers that be are admitting that the situation looks much uglier than the experts previously warned. According to data from SWIFT, the global messaging service for cash transactions, the use of the euro has collapsed over the past 9 months. Its share of transactions dropped from 38% in January to a measly 23.2% of the end of August. This is the lowest levels recorded in the last 12 years. It is now being acknowledged that Europe is more likely already in a recession, and based on the old standards of calculating a recession, the U.S. is likewise in a recession and heading towards a Great Depression that will be much worse than the first one. Now let that sink in a minute. They changed the standards of what calls for recession, folks. They changed the standards. We're in a recession, but they changed it so it doesn't look like it.
Exactly.
But now we're looking for something that's going to be worse than the first Great Depression. All gains, maybe the euro from December 2022 through July 2023, have now been lost. And since mid-July, the common currency has lost another 8% against the dollar, is likely only just getting started in terms of its continued decline. The global economy is grinding to a halt as inflation continues to soar. Based on the new standards, the U.S. is expected to officially enter a recession in 2024 as the effects, and that's on the new, folks, that's on the new standards. Will they change standards again? Well, there's a good chance of that. But anyway, as the effects of monetary tightening take their toll, some believe that the dollar will hold roughly steady through the winter months before dropping off a cliff next year. As poorly as the U.S. is doing right now economically, the Eurozone is reportedly doing much worse. There, growth momentum is declining at the most rapid pace, while the U.S. economy has seemingly magically continued to hang in there. Factory job losses across Europe are increasing as new orders decline and businesses' confidence deteriorates. In its 26-year history, the Eurozone HCOB PMI report has never seen this severe of a decline in new product orders across Europe. And folks, if it affects Europe, it affects us. If it affects China, it affects us. And it means this is an international economy. And with the dollar being declined and shrinking worldwide, inflation in this country is just getting started. Melody, comments?
No.
I mean, I don't know what else to say to that. Obviously, Melody, the inflation rate is still, I don't understand how you get by with this, not admitting how high inflation really is. But when the dollar loses value around the world, prices go up on goods, don't they?
Well, they do. Absolutely, they do. But it also, because we import so much, when we have a stronger dollar, that makes it you know, those items coming into us a little bit less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think that's why we really see a lot of, you know, of course, they changed the way inflation is calculated.
Oh, yes.
As they threw in used cars in there. So, yeah, that you know, used cars are, you know, when they hit the sky, of course, they weren't going to stay there forever at the peak. They were going to eventually come down. So all of these little things just create the illusion that inflation is getting better. But when you go to the grocery store or, you know, anything that we really need in energy, prices have not come down. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and, of course, sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, gee, Butch.
Yes. And you mentioned the other day about businesses and filing bankruptcy. Well, yeah. Chapter 11 filings, filings by businesses soar 61% so far this year.
Told ya.
Yes, you did. Updates to Retail Dive's bankruptcy tracker have been numerous in 2023 so far, with the all-important holiday quarter left to go. Now, you know, this it's hard to believe, but we are in the holiday quarter. I mean, this year was going. But we're in the holiday quarter. Either they make it now or they don't make it. A wide array of U.S. businesses have struggled this year. In the first 9 months of 2023, commercial Chapter 11 bankruptcies have soared 61% year over year to 4,553. Small business filings in that time rose 41%. Wow. In all, considering every type of bankruptcy, filings in the commercial sector rose 17% to 18,680. After recent declines, thanks in part to pandemic-era financial support, consumer filings also rose this year, up 17% to 313,458 per the report. That's a lot. I mean, that is a lot. Commercial sector, almost 19,000. That's a lot of businesses, Melody.
Yes, that is. Oh, but hey, look at all the jobs created.
Yeah, really? Yeah, and of course, it's always service and government. Yeah, so here we go. We'll get you a job in a motel, and or you can get a job working for the government, either way. Government don't pay as much, but the benefits are spectacular. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, you never lose your job.
Well, you don't.
Except temporarily, and then you get paid anyway.
And let's go back to the circus. What do you say? There you go. We got to get Todd to find that so we can play that once in a while.
Todd, find
that for us if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton said there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the Trump cult members. I don't know what that is, but a lot of noise there. Anyway,
I know.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, in an interview on Thursday with CNN's Christine Amanpour, called for systematic deprogramming of Donald Trump MAGA cult members. Clinton acknowledged that the former president will likely be a Republican Party's presidential nominee. Clinton and Trump's negative, nasty form of politics resonates with his supporters because they may not like migrants and are homophobic, racist, and misogynistic. And it's a classic tale of an authoritarian populist who really has a grip on the emotional, physiological needs and desires of portions of the population, Clinton said of the Trump saga. And the base of the Republican Party, for whatever combination of reasons, and it is an emotional and psychological, sees in him someone who speaks for them. And they are determined that they will continue to vote for him and attend his rallies and wear his merchandise because for whatever reason, he is very negative, nasty from politics that resonates with him. So there we go, folks. And now, we mentioned this yesterday, and I kind of myself thought it ain't going to happen. Well, I could be wrong. Imagine that, Melody. I could be wrong.
Well, it didn't happen yet, right?
Well, it ain't happened yet, but it's leading that direction. I'm shocked to come as far. I really thought it was just all hype. Well, I'll get this first thing about Trump. FBI now explicitly coming for Trump supporters. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
The knives have been out for domestic terrorists, a corporate state euphemism for Trump supporters. And actually, anyone remotely ideology in the vicinity of MAGA for many years at this point. But they're getting sharper and bloodthirstier. The federal government believes that the threat of violence and major civil disturbances around the 2024 U.S. presidential election is so great that it has quietly created a new category of extremists that it seeks to track and counter Donald Trump's army of MAGA supporters. The challenge for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the primary federal agency charged with law enforcement, is to pursue and prevent what is called domestic terrorism without direct reference to political parties or affiliations, even though the vast majority of his current anti-government investigations are of Trump supporters. For anyone who believes that the FBI is targeting domestic terrorists regardless of their political affiliations, I've got a ski resort somewhere, timeshare in Saudi Arabia, with a fresh blanket of powdery snow to sell you. We knew that the DOJ and FBI had been weaponized. We can see that's obvious. I mean,
yes,
the pro-life members are all hit. I mean, they admitted they did this. Even the IRS went after them. So, folks, we are living really in a banana republic already. But now, what I want to start with, I got two articles here to share back to back because one will confirm the other. I'm trying to find, I keep forgetting to say his name, MTG. I'm trying to think of what her name is. Oh, yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Mm.
President Trump will be the next speaker. That's what she said. I think President Trump will accept it, and I think it will be on an interim basis, and I think it would be great and could happen because Washington, D.C. is constantly fighting against President Trump. This is the epicenter of globalism. This is where the communist lair exists in Washington, D.C. They could probably not even imagine President Trump being Speaker of the House, but that's exactly who should be Speaker of the House right now. We need to make him Speaker of the House for an interim time period so that we can right the ship and we can actually do the right thing in the House of Representatives. Trump, on Truth Social posts on an image of himself wearing his trademark mic hat while holding the Speaker's gavel, signaling his willingness to take on the important job. That's on his social media, folks. Now, Trump may head for D.C. next week to pitch House Speaker bid. A Thursday report by Politico claims that Donald Trump is considering a visit to the Capitol next week, where he's open to pitching himself as speaker candidate following the historic removal of California GOP Congressman Kevin MacArthur. President Trump is expected to attend the GOP's closed candidate forum of House Speaker on Tuesday, according to Fox News. He's being nominated by several members of the House. I repeat, he's being nominated by several members of the House. Could we potentially see him throw in his hat in the ring? Earlier this week, Alex Jones and Georgia Republican Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene called for Trump to throw his hat in the ring and serve as House Speaker while he runs for president. Trump has until Wednesday to speak to Congress, as that's when the politicians will hold an internal speaker election, and he'd also basically need unanimous support from the House GOP. When reporters asked Trump about the prospect on Wednesday, he said, "A lot of people have been calling me about Speaker. All I can say is we'll do whatever is best for the country and the Republican Party." I don't know what that answer means exactly, but apparently this is more than hype. This is actually being bannered around by a congressman who wanted to nominate him as Speaker of the House. He said, "I'll do what's best for the country." What does he consider best? I mean, being Speaker would not hinder him from running for president, obviously. So what would be best? Would that be a move, Melody, in the right direction for him to boost his popularity a little bit in the House, I mean, among people, to see that maybe he's going to go in and make a difference in some things? I don't know. But when I first saw this a couple of days ago, I thought, it's not going to happen. Now I'm not sure. What do you think?
Well, let me ask you a question. Doesn't anything that he would do have to be approved by the Senate?
The House chooses a speaker, right? Senate
right.
doesn't do that. Okay. I want to see why.
Anything that he, what would he accomplish?
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay, yeah. If he brings
what
something,
what is there to accomplish?
Yeah. If it passed the House, would that pass Senate too? Whatever. I don't know.
I mean, he would create a whole bunch of investigations, which wouldn't lead anywhere. I mean, it would be a zoo.
Oh yeah, and I think it's about that. Yeah.
Let me correct that. It would be a circus.
There you go. By the way, you speaking about the investigation never went nowhere. Who brought the cocaine in the White House? Remember that? They're going to get the bomb of that.
Yeah.
Who brought cocaine?
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of faded into vapor. It just disappeared.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
So you know what? But what is interesting though today? It was late yesterday afternoon, late on Thursday. He dropped a lawsuit against Michael Cohen.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
So, you know, he was supposed to have a deposition scheduled for Monday. This was the third one. The other two were rescheduled and so forth. So it kind of makes me wonder why, you know. The only reason you drop a lawsuit is if you know you're going to lose. Or you don't want something exposed.
Well, you have to wonder if a lot of his is fighting back and is a lot of bluff. Could it be bluff? I mean, really, could it be bluff? Is he just acting tough because of who he is to keep his support up? I don't know. I really don't know. But if he becomes Speaker of the House, you're right. It'd be confusion for sure. But a lot of people, I think, want that. And in some ways, I can see the point. In other ways, I can see it's just making more of a mess. So, Melody, all I can tell you is, well, it's no real soon because it's coming up next week. We'll know real soon what's coming down with that. But I was kind of shocked to see that it's for real and he's actually considering it. I did not think he would.
But also, if he gets charged with a felon, that is one thing. You might not have to be... you can come in, but you cannot have a felony on you.
I don't know.
That's a fact.
I mean, what a mess, though. What a mess.
So, I mean, he's got enough. One of those felonies are going to be stuck to him. I don't know which one or whatever, but he's going to get one or two or more. Maybe not all of them will stick to him, but something will stick. I mean, that's what they did. They threw all the spaghetti on the wall to see what sticks. Legally, he couldn't be if, you know. I don't think he would ever get voted in anyway.
Well, again, we might find out soon. I really don't know, but I just know that both sides are throwing mud against the wall to see what sticks. That's what they're doing right now.
Well, I heard last night that he's threw his support to Jordan.
That's what I heard, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So why would you throw your support to somebody if you were going to go in there and take it away from them?
I have no idea, Melody. I don't understand these people think. And in my opinion, Trump has been a fake for a long time anyway, even financially. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
So, for whatever that's worth, there you go.
Well, we don't have to worry about them coming after us. They're only going after the supporters, right?
No. I don't know who I could support for president. I really don't. I really don't know. I haven't been able to say that from a mainstream candidate for years. I supported third parties, Constitution Party a couple times, whatever. I supported them. But I can't really say. I didn't want Biden. I didn't like Trump. So it was just that either way it went to me was going to be a mess, and destiny is a mess. But we will see. Now, this next article is going to make you want to hop on it. Go ahead.
I just want to read this headline real quick. After getting the largest bailout in U.S. history in 2008, 85.5%, 85%, 85.5% of the $1.34 trillion in deposits at Citigroup, Citibank lack FDIC insurance today.
Oh, wow.
This is as evidenced by the speech that the FDIC chair, Martin Gruenberg, delivered at a conference yesterday. The FDIC is very much aware that both the level of uninsured deposits and the concentration of those uninsured deposits among a handful of mega banks is a serious problem for the U.S. banking system.
That's a serious problem for the people that have money in the bank.
You have a guy, Jamie Dimon, Citibank. They've had how many charges, felony charges,
yes,
fines that they have to pay? 5, 6? Amazing. And they get away with it so much for all the, you know, the scrutiny over these banks and so forth. It's amazing. It's disgusting.
It is.
Because we paid for the biggest bailout in history, the taxpayers.
Well, that's, what can I say?
And look what they do to those who bailed them out.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course. Well, I mean, who are we? We're just chattel. We're nothing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's
amazing numbers. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, this article is going to make you want to go get an airplane ride. You probably saw this. The most dangerous scam in aviation history. A mystery fraudster duped the world's biggest airlines into using fake turbines, nuts, and bolts in a $3 million scheme that had an army of hoax staffers and dummy offices, including one near Buckingham Palace. Now, this will make you feel good. Go get on an airplane. A company accused of selling a bogus jet engine parts, which have been used in aircraft across the globe, was started in the U.K. by a shadowy businessman who allegedly promoted their business with faked LinkedIn profiles and a virtual office near Buckingham Palace. AOG Technics supplied parts that have been used at least 126 commercial aircraft engines in planes operated by companies including Delta and United. But the parts were allegedly backed up by forged paperwork, and dozens of aircraft have been grounded for urgent maintenance. A lawsuit has now been filed in the U.K. against AOG Technics, and as it emerged, the company is also believed to have engaged in a number of suspicious practices, including building a fake online presence to promote itself. Parts were sold to other companies with airlines used for aircraft maintenance. They have then made it into commercial planes used to carry potentially millions of passengers. Doesn't it make you want to go take a fly, Melody? Just hop on a plane and go somewhere?
I mean, how does that happen?
I don't know how to get by that. That is absolutely absurd. If the airline is so sloppy that they would be tricked by something like this, I don't know what to say. That's really sad. That's disgusting.
Well, you know, throughout the years, you've always had these con guys that have done these incredible things. There's that one guy who pretended to be a pilot, a doctor, and everything.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, but sell parts to airlines. I mean, this was people's lives, hundreds of lives at stake here.
I know. That's pretty bad. I hear the music. We'll be right back. Such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, babe. Don't say babe. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Butch?
Yes. And yes? We already discussed this briefly. Crime everywhere. But in the capital of the country, that's supposed to be the greatest country on the face of the earth, most prosperous, peaceful, placid place to live in the world. Violent crime is surging in D.C. this year. A 38% spike in homicides is upending life for residents and businesses. And Melody, I just don't understand this. How do you have gun violence in a city where guns are allowed?
Gee.
I mean, doesn't that hurt your feelings to know that people actually break the law? Gee.
Terrible.
Awesome. I'm not going to go through all this, but robberies are up. They're up 70%, and car thefts have more than doubled in D.C. I mean, this is absolutely sad. And jail population swelled, since they tried to do some things to try to slow down a little bit, has swelled by 25%. I mean, it's impossible to govern a people that will not govern themselves. Oh, you can get more cops on the streets, you can get more guns and more brute force. But those people will do what they can when they can, no matter what the law say, unless they learn to govern themselves. Melody, the secret to liberty and freedom is self-governance. If we would do that, we wouldn't need laws and cops on the streets to govern us. We do it ourselves because it's right. But without morality, you don't have self-governance, do you?
No, but I was taught that even if we just followed the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't have to have any law enforcement. There'd be no wars. It'd be a pretty nice place.
If we would just follow the laws of God and morality, murder, mm-hmm. stealing, whatever, we wouldn't need mm-hmm. cops running mm-hmm. up and down the town. We wouldn't have to lock our doors at night. And mm-hmm. when I grew up as a young boy, we didn't lock our doors at night. And I'm serious. This is how much has changed in my lifetime. We would go away for a 2-3 day trip, and Dad never locked the doors. Neighbors kept an eye on the place. But this is America today. It's so sad to see this nation in my lifetime changed from what it was to what it is. The nation's capital used to kind of be a show place for people to come to see. Now it's too dangerous to go into. Wow.
Yeah.
Russia is taking a beating in the Black Sea. Is it plotting a new escalation? You know, I don't know what's happening. I'm not there. I can't tell what's going on either side. I'm not there. But I still kind of wonder how Putin has stayed so composed and hasn't already did something to wipe this thing off the map and get it done with. I mean, it's cost him not only billions of dollars in finances to keep this thing going, but how many Russians are already been killed in this battle? And he's facing, I'm sure, in his country, a popularity problem because of this on this war, and not getting it over. I mean, he was provoked into it, but after a while, people get tired of this. So how much longer is he going to tolerate this? That's my question. But Britain says it has intelligence that Russia is trying to target civilian cargo ships carrying grain in the Black Sea by laying sea mines and planning to blame any attacks on Ukraine. The UK did not provide any evidence for the allegation, which comes as Ukraine appears to be gaining momentum in the fight over the crucial sea, which is both Kyiv's main export corridor and launch pad for Russian attacks. A senior Ukrainian official said Russia had been laying more mines in the Black Sea because the ship's commanders were feared getting too close to the shore and being struck by Ukrainian missiles. Ukraine has in the recent weeks hit back at Russia's Black Sea fleet with a wave of strikes, leading analysis and officials to suggest that the Kremlin may have been forced to pull back some of its ships to safer waters and away from a home it has historically used to project power across Europe and Asia. While Kyiv's counteroffensive has yet to achieve a breakthrough in the battlefield, success in the Black Sea could help loosen the Kremlin's grip on the occupied Crimean Peninsula. A security official said against the backdrop of such attacks, the British Foreign Office said in a statement Wednesday that Russia wants to deter the export of Ukrainian grain by covertly targeting cargo ships. I thought they'd already stopped that. I thought they'd already said that they would not let Ukraine ship grain out. I thought this had already been done. Maybe I missed it, but I thought it had already been done.
Yeah, I thought so.
So I don't know what's going to come out of that. I just know that grain supply has been cut off, Melody. It's going to make it hard on a lot of people worldwide, including good old U.S. of A. American support for arming Ukraine plummets in new poll. Amen. Back in the 60s, and I remember this because I was here. I know you weren't here yet, but I was. I went in the Air Force in October 1967 and spent 4 years in there, or 3.5 years. But anyway, the Vietnam War was still going strong. The popularity of the war is starting to really turn sour in this country, and we all know the outcome of that. I think we're seeing the same thing happen here. The number of Americans who think the U.S. should provide weapons to Ukraine has plummeted from 65% to only 41% in just the past 4 months. The poll conducted Tuesday and Wednesday showed that only 40% of respondents said they agreed that the United States should provide weapons to Ukraine. That decline in support for spent sending weapons to Ukraine extends across parties. Democratic supporters dropped from 81% to 52%. Republicans dropped 56% to 35%. So both parties are saying it's enough. It's enough. So I don't know exactly what is going to come out of that, but I know that people are getting fed up with it, and I can understand that. I mean, people here are doing without everything that they need to pay the bills. Yeah, we're shipping billions of dollars over to Ukraine and weapons, so it makes you wonder exactly what is going on here, and how long would they be tolerated before people say enough is enough? And we have some people now. Go ahead.
And you know, sometimes I'm not even sure that those are pretty big drops. So
yes,
I'm not sure if it's dollar related. You know, thinking about the money, or are we thinking, well, you know what? All of those weapons are coming out of our stockpiles.
That too.
What
that's
do we,
ha-
what
part
do we
of
have
it.
Left?
I'm sure that's part of it.
Oh.
And our Senator Manchin said Biden must declare a border wall emergency like Trump, suspend asylum, must hand the border to get Ukraine funds. Says on Friday's broadcast on MSNBC's Morning Joe, Senator Joe Manchin stated that in order to convince people to support Ukraine funding, Democrats have to come to grips that we have to close that border down. And there's President Joe Biden declaring a national emergency the way former President Trump did and shut it down tight. Manchin also stated that asylum basically should be put on hiatus for 6 months or so until we can get an immigration policy that works for our country and also gives people the chance to come here in the right way to take care of themselves and their family. Now, he's for supplying Ukraine. I'm not, and I know the man somewhat personally. He's a decent guy to talk to, but at heart, he's a politician.
Yeah, he's washy, wishy-washy.
Yeah, he is. So, anyway, maybe that is why Trump or Biden decided to maybe start cracking down the border, because he knows if he doesn't, he won't get his funding for Ukraine. Well, there's a lot of things. All of this is dun 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 dun. It's all it is.
Yes, it is.
You know.
Yes, it is. I mean, I don't know where. I don't know if this was from a previous speech or something, but I thought I heard Biden say that he knows the wall's not going to work, but we're doing it anyway. Okay. So, and what 20 miles is nothing.
No, it isn't. It is nothing. You're right.
They'll just find another way, you know. They've just walked how many thousands of miles? What's another 20?
Well, they also have underground tunnels. We know
tunnels.
That for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Now, Mexican cartels get the blame for human smuggling. Now, folks, listen to this. But Americans are heavily involved. Now, I did read this some time back. I know this is true. But it's just hard to swallow. One smuggler told Vice News that moving people through the U.S.-Mexico border into the United States is now more profitable than moving cocaine. Mexican criminal organizations involved in human smuggling are increasingly relying on Americans to maintain the flow of migrants reaching the U.S. The trend has emerged as a consortium of high-level U.S. officials touched down in Mexico this week to discuss plans for stopping a record number of migrants from reaching the U.S. President Joe Biden's government and U.S. administrators have focused the blame for human smuggling on the Mexican drug cartels, while overlooking the important and growing role of the U.S. citizens in the criminal economy. Now, folks, this is really something we need to pay attention to. Enticed by soaring profits during hard economic times, the love of money, U.S. citizens have proven easy recruits to ferry migrants through the last and arguably most perilous leg of the trip. The Americans just want money. They were not interested in this business when we were charging migrants $100, but now that we charge up $10,000, they want it. That is okay as long as they keep doing their part of the job, said 45-year-old male Mexican smuggler who spoke to Vice News on condition of anonymity. The number of Americans apprehended for human smuggling in the El Paso border sector has spiked by over 80% during the past 3 years. Wow. Americans are in on too. There's big profit in human smuggling. And we know there are corrupt officials all over that border doing the same thing. Any comments, Melody?
No.
It's just sad. And as winter looms, Venezuelan migrant surge overwhelms Chicago. The Venezuelan folks coming across the border, and now they're going to Chicago, said the buses packed with Venezuelan migrants are now arriving in downtown Chicago day and night, doubling the number in recent weeks. City officials are struggling to open more shelters. At the city's airports, migrants who have just landed sleep on the floor, men with babies and toddlers, as local officials plead for help, for more help from the federal government. We don't have any place for them to go, said Christina Zayas, deputy chief of staff for Mayor Brandon Johnson. We are scrambling. Like New York and a number of other cities in this country, Chicago is straining to provide for the growing numbers of migrants who have arrived over the last year on the buses from the U.S.-Mexico border. But with Chicago's infamously cold winter fast approaching, volunteers and leaders are worried that things will get only worse. Good point. Good point. And we're down about the last couple minutes. I want to take time and share a good news with Melody.
Yes, because we didn't have one last week.
No, we didn't, because you took too much time talking.
I anyway, don't. No. That's why I'm quiet. That's why I'm quiet today.
Okay. Teen surprises crying toddler with act of kindness at local fair. Now, this is sweet. A teenager, number. That's my young boy. A heartwarming story has emerged from a local fair that has left an entire community smiling. A compassionate teenager's act of goodwill towards a distraught toddler not only comforted the child, but also led to the heartwarming union between two families. Ashley Wargar, a mother too, had an unexpected turn of events during her night at the Westside Nut Club Fall Festival in Evansville, Indiana. Her three-year-old son, Max, threw a tantrum amidst the overwhelming lights and crowds, causing stress for both mother and child as they attracted curious onlookers. 6-year-old Michael Bartlett, by the way, my mom was a Bartlett. We may be related, I don't know. But 6-year-old Michael Bartlett noticed their plight and decided to take action. Michael, who had just been hanging out with friends in a line nearby, approached Isaiah Maddox. He offered the toddler a stuffed red panda he had won at one of the carnival games. He walked over and said, "I think this might make him feel better. Do you mind if I give him this stuffed animal?" Wargo said. Wargo, moved by his kindness, took to Facebook to find and thank him. Mutual friends recognized Michael in a photo she posted, leading to the reunion via FaceTime. Michael was taken aback by the tension, saying, "I'm speechless. I didn't think it would blow up like this." For Ashley, this small yet heartwarming gesture served as a powerful reminder that kindness can significantly brighten one's day. Inspired by the experience, she pledged to go out of her way to spread kindness to others, paying forward the goodwill she and Maddox had received. And that is absolutely, folks, the thing to do. Pay it forward. I mean, pay it forward. We're all blessed more than we understand. So take time to tell somebody else you care. If you can help them, help them. Please. Share your heart with others. Okay, let's do that. Melody, go ahead.
Well, that's a little bit of a hard act to follow.
I thank God every day there's good people out there. And let's take time, folks. And we see the news, we see what's happening, and it makes us angry and breaks our heart. But don't let others, if you can help others, don't let them suffer if you can help them. Help them if you can.
Absolutely. And so we're out of time. So on that, I just want to wish everyone a wonderful and safe weekend. And until Monday, good night and God bless.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me.